Paper 12, Fernando, are you looking after this one?
Yes, thank you, Sue. We'll move on to agenda paper number 12. In this paper, we discuss the comments received on the tentative agenda decision published in March 2018 in response to a request regarding the requirement in IFRS 9 and IAS 39 that a forecast transaction must be highly probable in order to qualify as a hedged item. In its published tentative agenda decision, the committee observed that on the basis of the responses to the outreach performed, the derivative described in the request is not common, nor is the matter widespread, and the committee decided not to add the matter to its standard setting agenda. As described in paragraphs 12 to 14 of the agenda paper, all five respondents agreed with this decision. In addition, some comment letters confirmed the concerns raised by some committee members at the March 2018 meeting that the specific issue described in the request could be related to a broader question. To address this, the paper proposed some new content for inclusion in the agenda decision. This broader matter is discussed in paragraphs 16 to 24 of the paper. Based on our analysis in paragraphs 15 to 24 of the paper, the staff is of the view that an entity should consider uncertainty over both timing and magnitude of a forecast transaction when assessing the likelihood that a transaction will occur. The staff is also of the view that the terms of the hedging instrument do not affect the assessment of whether a forecast transaction is highly probable. For these reasons, we recommend updating the tentative agenda decision published in the IFRIC update in March 2018. I will now ask whether you have any comments on the tentative agenda decision proposed in Appendix A to the paper.
I agree with the staff analysis. I do think that this is raising a broader issue, and so I really appreciate the staff addressing that in this agenda decision. And I agree with the agenda decision, but I would make a suggestion. In the staff analysis in the paper, one of the things I think is very important that you point out is that not only around the assessment of highly probable, but that the transaction needs to be specified. And you point that out by referencing in the paper, F310, and my suggestion would be to build that also into the agenda decision. I think it's important for constituents to know that, you know, another requirement is that the transaction has to be, you have to be specific about the transaction, it has to be a fixed amount.
Bruce?
I agreed with, obviously, the agenda. Let me rephrase. I agreed with the original agenda decision, as we put it out. I mean, I think we've gone out there, done the research, and yet, as Bob said, it's a big issue, so it was the right answer. My only concern was the addition of the additional paragraph. We've kind of gone out, and I mean, the original decision said, on the basis of what we've done, we're not going to address this. And then we suddenly addressed another issue raised in the comment letter, which has been included in it. I just felt that maybe it's like, well, why are we starting to address other issues arise? I mean, we've been quite, as you were saying earlier, quite good about we address the question being asked. Now we're raising things raised in comment letters when we've actually decided we're not going to comment on.
Yeah, which is a fair question. But my recollection of the last meeting was there were some members of the committee who questioned whether, in fact, a more fundamental issue was underlying the specific fact pattern. Mm. And I think I actually encourage people at the time to see whether they agreed that there was a more fundamental question that we could pick out of the core of this specific fact pattern that was worth addressing. And so I think we sort of, I think the committee was, you know, almost asking whether that would be a helpful thing to do.
I mean, I can see the value in what you've added. I just think it's an interesting precedent we're setting to start picking up other issues out of comment letters. And then the question will be, if somebody raised another issue, and in other papers we've had things where people have raised things and we said, well, that's not the question. Mm-hmm. Now we're saying we are. Yep. Now we've got to decide on what framework do we decide when an issue in a comment letter should be addressed in addition to and when it won't. And
but I think for me, one of the things was, one of the responses we got, I think, highlighted why it was actually an important practice issue. And we do have the ability to bring questions even ourselves, even if we don't get them from the outside world. So But you're right to question process, Mary.
And if I could just come in on that process point. When I read this, I think, Bruce, my initial reaction was somewhat like yours, especially the idea that if something comes in via a comment letter rather than as a submission, you know, when does it get picked up? And as I thought, though, about what the issue was, I think the language, and it's just a small thing, is maybe not so helpful, that says it's identified another question. Mm. I think it's rather that that the comment letters highlighted the kind of generic version of the same, you know, same question. I think it might be helped if that language was tweaked slightly so it doesn't characterize it as another question,
I'll probably a lot
but
more
rather that, yeah. You know, the comment letters highlighted the underlying.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's good.
Carl?
Just to echo Bruce's and I agree with Mary's suggestion.
Okay, thank you. Young Sue?
I agree with the step analysis and conclusion, and I think addition of this paragraph really helped people to understand what is really the matter in this agenda decision. My only concern is that, you know, in this additional paragraph, we put down the paragraph from the old standard, IAF 39, which is not effective anymore. So if we do that, I'm afraid that the people have to see both the standards, IAF 9 and 39. They have to keep both books forever. So that is my only concern.
Okay.
Guy.
I just wanted to echo Bob's comment. I find the addition here a little bit ambiguous in terms of the specified amount point. I think stating that more explicitly in some way will avoid creating confusion as to what we mean here with the additional language.
Guy, this is Kumar here. Sorry. Happy to do that, just to reiterate so that we get what you're looking for. What Bob was mentioning was that in the paper, we make another reasoning, is that basically for you to get effectiveness and to designate, you must know have a certain degree of specificity. You would like that to be brought into the agenda decision.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Andrew.
I agree with the staff analysis and in general with the agenda decision. My point of that is the same as Bob's. I would like to see us bring in the reference to paragraph F310 of the implementation guidance. I think that helps to answer the specific question that we were asked, and it would be appropriate for us to make mention to it. On the point on the referencing, I think perhaps we ought to put in both IS 39 and IFRS 9 references, given that I think even if you adopt 9, you're permitted to continue hedge accounting under 39. So we need to have 2 there in order to make this watertight and future-proof.
Thank you. Bertrand?
Similar comments as Bruce did. We say we don't deal with the issue, but we add stuff in the initial agenda decision, which effectively deals with the issue. And I've heard from people in France that it might have unintended consequences on certain transactions that were not exactly the one submitted, but there could have interactions. I'm not saying that I necessarily disagree with what is in currently the amended initial agenda decision, but it's just that we have not dealt really with what you suggested to maybe a more broader issue. So I would probably prefer dealing with the initial agenda decision as worded and saying the same thing as for the IS21 stuff, saying that we would research then to ask the staff to research to see whether there is effectively a more broader issue we could deal with. And obviously deleting what has been added so far, because we have not really worked through it.
Although you did analyze the specificity point in the paper.
It means we can look at the transactions and other things, but I don't think there's much more we can add on point of view of technical analysis on what is highly probable. With that, yes, there could be different types of transactions which will come up, but I think the principle would still be the same. And effectively, the other the other thing is that there's, as we say in the paper, I don't think anything's changed from 39. It's the same concept that we have rolled forward.
So I suppose in terms of, I think you're suggesting, Bertrand, to bring maybe some other analysis back. At least our starting point was to think there maybe isn't that much more analysis we could bring back in addition to what is analysed in this paper.
Even though it was capturing this underlying issue that was identified. Tony?
I don't agree with the change that's been made to the tentative agenda decision. If I just think about the two pieces of guidance that we've referred to, I don't think F37 actually talks about magnitude. It talks about whether or not the transaction is highly probable and the factors that you might take into account to decide whether it's highly probable, but doesn't talk about the magnitude of it. And then F310 is about, it's saying that you need, effectively, that you need to understand that the transaction is the one that you have hedged when it happens, which is why you can't hedge the first 50% or the last 50%, because you don't know the denominator. But you could hedge the first 10,000, because then you would know. And it just seems to me that for a solar farm or a wind farm, that it is highly probable that it's going to generate something. And if you have then designated all of the output within a relatively narrow time window, then if it's highly probable that there will be some generation, you will know for each unit that is produced, that is the transaction that you have hedged. And in fact, you have something that feels a bit like it's a perfect hedge, because you have hedged 100% of the output. So I wasn't persuaded by the analysis, and for that reason, I'm not comfortable with the tentative decision. I guess from a process point of view, coming at it separately, if we are going to say this, then I think we ought to expose it again.
And that's a proposal.
That's a plan.
That's a plan.
Yeah. And I think that's important.
That is important. Yeah.
Jim?
I agree with the staff analysis, and I also want to make recommendations to further improve the wording. First one, similar to what Bob just mentioned, just build the F310 explanation into it. And I do have a small question on page 4, the paragraph 17, as Andrew mentioned also. IS-39 is still valid somehow, even though it's not carried over forward, but it's still effective somehow. If the last sentence on this paragraph, or
which paragraph is it? Sorry,
17.
The last sentence on this paragraph on page 5. If that's the fact, not a guess made by the staff, we should somehow build this into the agenda decision so that we let people know it's still somewhat effective.
No, absolutely.
All right.
We can quote the basis paragraph. Mm-hmm.
Bring the basis.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm still carry it forward by this way.
Marshall?
Yeah, thanks. For me, the question was, what is the headline? So what is the overall topic and how the add-on fits to that topic? And I guess in general, it fits. However, what I would exclude is the first underlined sentence starts with in addition, and then I just would continue more general. The committee observed that when assessing the likelihood and so on, so we more or less could add it on without having that exception, which we never have written before, that while analyzing the common letters or so.
Okay.
Good point. Reinhardt?
I share Tony's concern in terms of being comfortable with the addition because I just worry that it's, although I agree with what the staff analysis is and I agree with the suggestion to put in, be more explicit on the specificity issue, I just worry that when somebody who hasn't been part of the discussion looked at the agenda paper would really be able to interpret or understand the principles, because we're making a more generic statement, to similar kinds of transactions, like the load following swap, et cetera. So what I was wondering is, I agree that that is the underlying issue, and it would be helpful to provide guidance on that. I'm wondering if another way to approach this is along the lines of how we've approached other issues where people have provided a specific example, and we've used that example to illustrate the principles, which would help build out the logic and the analysis, so that somebody, you know, that in practice people would be able then to apply the analysis in the agenda decision to other fact patterns, like the not only for the load following swaps, but other types of situations where there are contingencies on the derivative.
So are you suggesting to go on to say that, just off the top of my head, because in the load following swap, the volume is, I can't remember, unspecified up front, that you don't have the necessary level of specificity, et cetera, so sort of tie the analysis back to the fact pattern?
Okay. Consider it.
Jennifer? So I had a couple of thoughts. So one was, I had the same process question I think others have raised, but it's already been raised, so won't repeat that again. I had a specific question. Maybe it's similar to Tony's. And I probably should have asked this offline, but what are the particular words in F37 that talk about magnitude? I wasn't sure.
The F37 talks about, says that an entity should consider the frequency of similar transactions, and also the proportion to the entity's transactions of the same nature. It also talks about financial and operational ability and the entity business plan, but I think these two specific points, more specifically the proportion to the entity's transaction that has the same nature, I think you would need to know what's the magnitude in order to compare it to past transactions.
Okay.
Because without that, the point which Bob mentioned, one of the key things that comes up is that without the magnitude, unless and until you have defined what is the first flow in, without a magnitude, you never know whether a hedge transaction has occurred or not. It could be anything that keeps coming in. So it could be the first 50%, it could be 100%. So you need to have a magnitude in there for you to have a transaction. Because the other thing is that the derivative that you're designating also has to have a magnitude, normally.
But if you designate 100% of the output, you know that every item when it flows is...
But you need to still put a number in there, Tony.
To assess whether the specific transaction you're hedging is highly probable.
Otherwise, how will you know which 100% has happened and for which month?
Bruce?
Just coming back, given I'm not the only one who made a comment on the process, can I just make a suggestion? Why wouldn't we just split up this additional amount as a separatist gender decision and leave the original one as we're not addressing it and just do them separately? Because, you know, I just do worry that we kind of go through the questions, I'll say we're going to do it, and I mean, now there's more discussion, we could be adding on. It just feels to me that's in. If you're saying we've got the ability to raise things, there's not a better process to actually split into a separate...
We could do that. Or what we could think about doing is, because I think the reason why the two are together at the moment is not because per se it's coming in a comment letter, but because by addressing the more specific point, it answers by addressing the broader point, we answer really the question on the fact pattern, which is sort of Reinhardt's
exactly
point. So maybe if we linked the other way of doing it, rather we could de-link, as you suggest, that would be fine, or we could use the observation that we've got in the additional paragraph and link it back to the load following swap example, and therefore by answering the broader question also address the more specific example and use it to illustrate, so that there's a closer link between the two.
That's also... I'm just saying I think we should do one or the other. I just don't know.
And I do think that maybe Mary's suggestion is helpful. The phrase we used that talked about another question actually was wrong, because what this is that we're saying kind of the committee observed that the request relates to a broader underlying matter, so that relating and the link...
If we do the link, it's okay to leave it in one, but if we're not going to do the link, then I think we should split them.
I think it's a good suggestion. I think, as you say, Reinhard, I think it will help people understand what the point is.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that suggestion and with the suggestions on...
Specificity,
yeah. Yes, importantly, and also changing the articulation of the... the comment letter, so we're referring to it as the broader issue rather than that, and also the basis reference to reinforce why we're still harking back to that implementation guidance. Can I get a show of hands for support for the tentative agenda decision, please?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in the room.
And Mikhail?
Mikhail?
Mikhail, are you supportive? He's not there, but 12 was...
Yes, supportive.
Yeah. Okay, 13. Thank you, 13.
Thank you.
Lucky 13.
those mute buttons. Mm-hmm. All right, so as Petrina said earlier at the start of the meeting, we're going to have an extended coffee break now so that you've got time to do your homework, and then we'll come back and discuss cloud computing again because we enjoyed it so much yesterday. And so we'll reconvene at 11.00.